Small businesses. Direct Line guarantee to be any public liability insurance quote for the same cover. Can your insurance do that? New customers only. Qualifying criteria apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Wednesday, May 11th, 2016. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we do our best to bring you our own unique look at the world of sports. You know, there's a number of different places that you can get the podcast. You can, of course, go over to iTunes. You can go over to Stitcher. You can go to Google Play. You can go to Podcast Republic. You can just go over to rogueintel.com, rogueintel.com, and you can listen to the show there. And of course, while you are over at Rogue Intel, you may find a couple different podcasts that you want to listen to as well. So you might want to check that out. And of course, you can go over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. We post new articles there every single week. You might want to check over and see what you find there. In fact, I posted an article just yesterday that you might want to check out. Kind of an interesting story coming out from the Kentucky Derby this past week that you might have missed. That's the thing about the Daily Dose. We bring you things that you might not have seen otherwise. If you would like to contact the show for any reason, got a question, got a comment, maybe you need some advice, you can always email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can drop us a line on our forum page over at rogueintel.com. Just stop by the Daily Dose forum. And if you've got a question, you got a comment, you got something you'd like to say, we would love to hear from you. Or you can also hit us on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those are at Daily Dose Sports. Again, that is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, I'm going to be honest with you. I've got a little something different for you today on the show. Yes, going to talk a little bit about the NBA. Got actually a couple of boxing takes we want to get to. Got a couple of stories we want to get to. But today on the Daily Dose, I have a very, very special Daily Dose Top 5 that you're not going to want to miss. You know, we do a Daily Dose Top 5. We've been doing them. Let's see, we've been doing the Daily Dose now since about 2013. We do a Daily Dose Top 5 every single show. Every single show, we do a Daily Dose Top 5. This is one you're not going to want to miss. You're just going to have to trust me on that one. You're going to have to check this one out. If you're not familiar with the Daily Dose Top 5, make sure you stick around for this one today. Yesterday, we got to jump in. We got too much to get to. Yesterday, it was announced that Houston, Memphis, Central Florida, and Colorado State are lobbying members of the Big 12 committee to become members themselves of the Big 12. Now, when you first hear that, you look at those teams and you kind of, wait a second. Houston, Memphis, Central Florida, Colorado State. One of these things just doesn't belong here. Now, I can see these other schools that are looking for a way in. Like, you look at Memphis. I mean, Memphis, they're doing a little bit in football. They're always pretty solid in basketball. You look at Houston, they're trying to get the football program going. Basketball, they're kind of middle of the pack. Central Florida has had some success, I guess, in football. Some minor, tiny success in basketball. But these are all three programs that kind of, I mean, let's be honest. Let's call it what it is. They all pack some money into their program. Yes, sir, some of it might be they pay their athletes. I'm not going to go out on that and say that. But we can see those three programs, they put some money, you know, there. They're going to put some money in their athletic programs. Colorado State? What are you doing in that group? What is Colorado State going to do? First of all, let's be real clear. And if you're not from Colorado, I understand. I'll explain it to you because you're probably listening and saying, I don't know anything about Colorado State. Yeah, we understand. Here's the thing. First off, Colorado State fans have always made fun of the Big 12 because for years, their big brother, Colorado, used to be in it. But if CSU joins, how are they going to win their six games and get to that horrible bowl game they play every year? You know how Colorado State, like, it's like Christmas time. It's usually like a couple days before Christmas, like the week before Christmas, maybe. And you're flipping through the channels, and you see one of those terrible bowl games. It's like, I don't know, the North Dakota Potato Bowl or some stupid thing that you wouldn't watch. And you'll see Colorado State participating in one of these things. And they're playing some team like from, you know, like Bowling Green or something. Like, it's a horrible game. You hope it's close, but let's be honest, it's a horrible game. If CSU joins the Big 12, they're not going to get to go to that horrible game anymore. Think about this. Do they realize they're going to have to play like Oklahoma and Baylor and like Texas instead of I don't know, New Mexico, Fresno, and like Nevada, Las Vegas. Do you see the difference there? That's kind of a jump. That's not going to work for Colorado State. I know that they can talk about it, and they can act like, oh, yeah, we really want to be in there. You're not quite there just yet. Speaking of things that aren't going to work, there are some other things that aren't going to work in the sporting world right now. On Saturday night, we've got to talk about the boxing event that took place. Middleweight Championship of the World. Canelo Alvarez literally knocked the snot out of Amir Khan in the sixth round. I mean, you can go pull it up on Twitter. You can go pull it up wherever you want. You can find it. Literally knocks him out, sixth round. Now, to be fair, Amir Khan was leading on all cards when he got knocked out. But that's just kind of how Alvarez is. He's a big hitter. And immediately following the fight, as soon as he knocked him out, Canelo jumped into the ring and told everyone how he doesn't fear anyone and he would give Gennady Golovkin a shot at the title. And Golovkin is the mandatory contender now for Canelo's middleweight championship. I mean, that is who he is supposed to fight. But here's the problem. He wants nothing to do with Gennady Golovkin. He can't hang with Golovkin. And more importantly, his promoters over at Golden Boy Promotions know this. And they want nothing to do with Gennady Golovkin because Triple G will knock their boy out. So don't expect that fight anytime soon. I know they're trying to spin that and they're trying to say, oh yeah, next big fight, Canelo versus Golovkin. Yeah, don't believe the hype because Golden Boy Promotions wants nothing to do with that fight. They know right now they've got a guy who's getting them paid. And maybe he's not getting them the huge, giant payday, but he's getting them a payday. And they don't want that payday ending anytime soon. They don't want that gravy train ending anytime soon. They don't want their boy in the ring with Golovkin. Golovkin will sock him right in the face. Speaking of things that won't happen, no sooner did like Amir Khan's head hit the mat than Floyd Mayweather was craving some attention again. Like we know Floyd loves him some Floyd, and he really loves to get some attention. I know. He's retired, right? Right? Here's the thing. Boxers never retire. Like right now, today, I mean, here we are, May 11, 2016. Right now, Mike Tyson will fight like George Foreman if anyone would actually watch it. Like if anybody would pay him, Sugar Ray Leonard will fight Tommy Hearns with like goggles on if you'd like give him a pay-per-view prize. I mean, so Floyd Mayweather, to say he's retired, give me a break. We know what boxers do. We know how boxers operate. You never retire. They never retire. Now, Floyd Mayweather says he would consider fighting UFC star Conor McGregor. We just talked about how the Canelo, Golovkin fight's not going to happen. This is never going to happen. This is never. And there's a number of people that jumped on him like, no, I'd like to see that fight. Well, of course you would. I'm telling you right now, though, that fight is never going to happen. We have a better chance of Mayweather fighting Golovkin than fighting McGregor. We have a better chance of Mayweather fighting like Sugar Ray Robinson than McGregor. And Sugar Ray died back in the 80s. Get out of here with this nonsense. You're going to fight Conor McGregor. There's a few problems with this. For one, let's be real clear. First off, no one wants to watch you, Floyd. No one wants to watch you not get hit anymore. Like that, you might think that's really entertaining for people at home, but people at home can like turn on 50 million different things other than watching you run around the ring and some other guy chasing and swinging at you. It's not that entertaining to watch. Here's the other thing. Don't forget that Conor McGregor rolls in about 170 pounds naturally. Floyd ain't getting in the ring with that. He's really not getting in the ring with that. So don't believe the hype. Sometimes the Daily Dose has to just kind of warn you and head you off before you go down a bad path. Don't go down this stupid path that sometimes, you know, the big sports media is going to feed you. Oh, you know what? This might happen. This could happen. Oh, here's a fight that might happen. Hey, did you know that Mayweather might actually fight Conor McGregor? Yeah, that's never going to happen. Don't believe the hype. It's stupidity, and it's basically just Floyd looking for some more attention. Hey, we've got to get to some NBA stuff, and we've got to get to a very, very special Daily Dose Top 5. You got to stick around. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Dear podcast listener, We accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case, and I'm a princess.
And I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com. Think of the tender
things that we were working on. We have got to get over to the NBA. Of course, last night, big game and big news is that the Oklahoma City Thunder went up 3-2 on the San Antonio Spurs. Who thought this would come? Oh, yeah, except for that I said that be careful of Oklahoma City, like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. But here's the thing that's kind of getting lost in all this, because it's very, very easy to look at Oklahoma City now up and say, wow, what a job Kevin Durant has done. What an amazing run that Kevin Durant is on. He's playing so well. You know what's changed? It's not Kevin Durant. Durant has always been very, very good. That's not what has changed. It's Russell Westbrook. Are you watching him down the stretch? What has changed? We saw all season the Oklahoma City Thunder would be in these tight games, and right at the end, they'd find a way to lose. What has changed? It's not Kevin Durant. It's all of a sudden Russell Westbrook has decided, hey, I'm going to facilitate. I'm going to get us good looks. I'm going to take good looks when I have them, but I'm going to dish a little bit. I'm going to pass a little bit. Hey, yeah, that kind of works, doesn't it? We are seeing a little bit of a change in the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, what's interesting to me, because for the past 2 years, all we've heard about is, where is Kevin Durant going? Where's he going to go? He could go back to Washington. You know that's where he's from. You know he's originally from Washington. He could go back there and play with the Wizards. Well, maybe he'll go out and, I don't know, be a member of the Lakers. Maybe he'll go to Golden State. Maybe he'll join with the Warriors. Yeah. Or maybe he'll just stay right where he's at. He's kind of doing okay right now, isn't he? All the talk we had about Oklahoma City earlier and how bad they were, we're not really talking about that anymore, are we? It's kind of going away a little bit, isn't it? Oklahoma City Thunder has the Spurs on the ropes. And, you know, the Spurs, they're struggling, obviously, defensively. They're struggling to play this type of defense they were playing. You know where else they're struggling? They're really struggling at the offensive end because they're not getting any ball movement. They're not getting any player movement. And so right now, the San Antonio Spurs are playing some really stagnant basketball. And as a result, they're down on a much younger, much more athletic Oklahoma City team. The Cleveland Cavaliers swept the Atlanta Hawks this past week. Here's a couple thoughts that I have on the Cleveland Cavaliers, because they played extremely well against the Hawks. It seemed like we had the whole thing. What, you remember they were shooting too many threes, and Charles Barkley was saying, oh, the Hawks ought to go do something and ought to go take some of their guys out. Or understand this. Chuck comes from a whole different era. And what he's basically saying, I don't know if he's saying take a guy out. I don't know if he's saying hurt somebody. But what he's saying is have some backbone. Step up. Get a stop. Don't be afraid to knock someone on the floor. The Hawks showed no guts. You want to talk about being gutless. The Atlanta Hawks are gutless. Here's my caution for Cleveland, for the Cavaliers. This is the one word of caution that I would have for Cleveland. Are you really going to try to go into this, the rest of this playoffs? Because we know Cleveland is far ahead, better than anyone in the East. We know that. It's not even close. It hasn't been close all year. We know Cleveland is the best team in the East, and it isn't even close. But are you really going to try to face off against what we still probably think is probably going to be Golden State, right? And you're going to try to play three ball with them? You're going to try to outshoot the shooters? Be careful. Be careful. Remember last year? When Cleveland was up 2-1 on Golden State, and they were pounding them inside, and they were beating them up with defense, and they were giving them all they wanted, and then, they kind of started to get away from that a little bit, and Golden State kind of got a read on them, and they started figuring something. I don't know. That seemed like that was the path to success. Not, well, hey, they shoot, so we're going to shoot better than they are. You're not going to shoot better than they are. You're never going to shoot better than Golden State. That's what they do. That's who they are. I would be careful if I was Cleveland. The Raptors, the Toronto Raptors, and the Miami Heat are tied in a hideously ugly series over in the East. Miami, I said before, if there was anyone in the East that could possibly give Cleveland a series, I guess it's Miami. This is bad basketball. This is bad, ugly basketball. I mean, I'm a fan. Like, I'm a guy who watches this stuff, and this is ugly. The Heat's biggest problem has been you can't let Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan get going. The best time to stop a shooter is before a shooter gets going, and in the games that they've allowed those two to get rolling, yes, then you're in a dogfight of a series. If you would just kind of keep them from touching the ball, keep them from getting good looks to start with, you'd be in pretty good shape. Raptors and Heat, ugly series. No one cares. We know either one of you is getting rolled by Cleveland. Here's the question. Can Cleveland sweep another series? Can they go into the finals without a single loss? That's kind of what I'm looking for, because I think there's a good chance that they do. The Raptors and the Heat aren't showing me anything. I thought the Heat were getting ready to step up when I saw them in games one and two. I'm not liking what I'm seeing right now. The Golden State Warriors are up 3-1, and it's interesting because we had just kind of, maybe Cleveland's really, really good. Maybe Steph Curry, I don't know. I mean, he's been out a while. We kind of forgot. And then on Monday night, Steph goes for 17 in overtime alone. And yes, it's a gritty, gutty Portland Trailblazer team, but they're not a great team. But Steph comes in and drops 17, and we're all like, oh, never mind, Cleveland. Never mind. We forgot about that. We forgot that when Steph plays and he's healthy, he's really, really, really good. Because that's kind of how that's going. Warriors are up 3-1, and I don't expect that to change anytime soon. Warriors-Thunder, is that the matchup we're looking at? Can San Antonio find a way to get another win? We already know what's going to happen on the East, but can San Antonio find a way to take that to Game 7? And again, which one of those teams comes out healthier? Which one of those teams comes out less banged up? Because the Warriors, for as tight as this might be, the Warriors are still up 3-1. They're probably going to win this 4-1. They're going to win it in 5. They're going to have some rest. Steph's going to get even more rest. Speaking of Steph Curry, did you see that on Tuesday, Stephen Curry became the NBA's first unanimous most valuable player, winning the award for the second straight season? Curry swept all 131 first place votes. Again, so Steph Curry finishes first. Kawhi Leonard finishes second. LeBron James is back at third. Isn't it interesting how the rise of Steph Curry has meant the fall of LeBron James that quickly? That quickly. Just a year ago, 1 year ago from now, we were saying LeBron James is the best player on the planet. It's not even close. He was a distant third to Curry. That wasn't even close. And we were just saying it the other way. Other NBA news. The Sacramento Kings have hired former Memphis Grizzlies coach Dave Yeager. And they have announced that it was the end of the dysfunction in Sacramento. They're done with the foolishness. They're not going to have it anymore. That's enough. I want you to think about this for 1 second. Dave Yeager was the former coach for the Memphis Grizzlies. He was actively trying to get fired in Memphis. He didn't want to be in Memphis. He wanted to go somewhere else. So he was trying to get himself fired. This is the guy that is going to stop the dysfunction in Sacramento. Let's see if you can get your mind around that for just 1 second. I mean, this is the guy they tapped. Hey, here's a guy who is purposely trying to get himself fired, trying to lose some games so that he can get fired and do something else, and he's going to stop the dysfunction in Sacramento. Yeah, him and Boogie, they're going to straighten things out in Sacramento. You can believe that. The Indiana Pacers fired their head coach, Frank Vogel, which actually kind of drew some criticism from a number of sports writers, a number of fans, a number of people saying, hey, wait a second. How are you going to fire Frank Vogel? I mean, he got the Pacers to the number 7 seed. They almost beat the Toronto Raptors. But here's the problem that I want you, once again, to kind of try to get your head around. You got to get into Larry Bird's head. This isn't for the average fan. This isn't for the... Larry Bird doesn't look at things that way. He doesn't look at things and say, oh, well, you almost won. Oh, well, you almost did this. Oh, well, you all... Larry Bird doesn't care. Larry Bird wants championships and nothing else. And anything short of that, and he looks at it and says, yeah, I'm sorry, you failed. Do you think Larry Bird cares that you finished 7th in what is one of the worst basketball conferences ever? He doesn't care. Oh, you almost beat Toronto? Toronto's horrible. We're seeing that in that Miami series. Toronto's bad. That's not. They've got two players and they don't have much else. Do you think Larry Bird cares? No. And he's always said, Larry Bird has always said, hey, my coach has 3 or 4 years. He has your ear for that long. And then after that, I have to move on. I can't keep going. Because you've given all the speeches you can give. You've said all the things you can say. After 3 or 4 years, win or get out. And that's kind of how Bird is. You might not like it, but when you look at his career and when you look at what he's done, both coaching and playing and being the guy up front in the front office, he's always kind of had some success, hasn't he? Sometimes he's had some huge success. Don't forget, his teams at Indiana gave the Chicago Bulls the closest series they ever had. I mean, Larry Bird's always had success, whether it was as a player, as a coach, or whatever he's been doing. He is tired of losing. I don't know who he's going to go get. He's going to go try to get somebody that's going to turn these things around. Now, as we always do, we have got to get to a very special edition of the Daily Dose Top 5. Here's the thing. And we just recently joined the Rogue Intel Network, trying to get our name out there a little bit more, trying to get a few more listeners. And I know that we have gotten a few more listeners. We've gotten a few more people that tuned in and are checking out the Daily Dose. And they kind of want to know, you know, what's this all about? What's this show about? Here's the thing that you got to realize. If you haven't been around, you might not have experienced the Daily Dose Top 5. The Daily Dose Top 5, like I tell people every week, it has a mind of its own. And it kind of goes a different way. It kind of just, like, I kind of put it in motion, but then it just kind of takes off and it does its own thing. And so if you haven't been there, if you're coming to the show just a little bit late, we're not mad at you. We're welcoming. We're glad that you're here. But we've got to catch you up. You've got to understand exactly what it is that the Daily Dose Top 5. Can you sit there and say, oh, Daily Dose Top 5, whatever. Whatever. I don't know what that means. We've got to help you understand why it is that you're going to love checking out the Daily Dose Top 5 each and every week. So if you're coming late and you don't quite get it, stick around because you're going to get it. This week, our Daily Dose Top 5 is the top 5 reasons to listen to the Daily Dose Top 5. Because you got to check it out every week. Every single week, I get comments on it. Every single week, I get emails. I get Twitter. I get something. Somebody going to say something. Maybe they disagree. Maybe they agree. Maybe they really liked it. Maybe they said, hey, what about this player? What about this scenario? You might have forgotten something here. I always get comments on the Daily Dose Top 5. I'm going to give you 5 reasons why you should be listening to it every single week. Number 5 on our list. Hey, you're going to get some opinions. And you're going to get some opinions on a number of different subjects. If you need any proof of that, I'm going to give you Daily Dose Top 5 list to listen to right here. As we do every single week, we bring to you our Daily Dose Top 5. And the top 5, you never know where it's going to go. Sometimes we look back historically at things. Sometimes we look forward at things that are coming. Sometimes we just look at some random items that are out there. This week, our Daily Dose Top 5, and you're going to have to think back about this. Remember back in like game 1, game 2, game 3 of this series? There was one guy in this series that was getting all of the love, and I mean all of the love. The media loved him. The people in Cleveland loved him. The most popular guy in this series was Cavaliers point guard Matthew Dellavedova. Everybody fell in love with him. I mean, they were talking about, oh man, he's shutting down Steph Curry. He's just such a scrapper. He's doing all these amazing things. Everybody was in love with Matthew Dellavedova. From the media to the fans, I mean, there were these little spots on ESPN about what a job he is doing. And our Daily Dose Top 5 this week is going to be the top 5 reasons that everyone fell in love with Matthew Dellavedova. And they might not be what you think. They might be a little different than what you think. So I want you just to think back just a couple games ago, because we saw that kind of went away. We saw Dellavedova eventually, the cream rises to the top, and we kind of saw him start to go away. But I just want to just show you why everybody fell in love with him, because the reasons, like I said, might be a little different thing. Number 5 on our list, why everyone fell in love with Dellavedova. It's a blue-collar town. Cleveland is a blue-collar town, and they have an appreciation for a blue-collar guy. These are guys that go to work every day, and this is kind of a tough town. I mean, Cleveland is that way. And so they have a respect for the hard work that he does. And let's be honest, he doesn't have a huge skill set. It's not like this is the most athletic guy in the world. He's getting by on a lot of coaches I've heard that he's got a lot of sand on him.
he's a pretty gritty player. I don't know if he's very good, but he's pretty gritty. And I think it plays well in a town like Cleveland where they look at him and say, well, he doesn't have all the skills, but man, he works hard. Something to be said for that. One of the reasons people fell in love with him. Number four on our list of why people fell in love with Matthew Dellavedova. He doesn't look like a player. I mean, let's be real honest. He's got those heavy legs. He kind of looks like Teen Wolf. You know, he honestly looks like the owners were coming in and there was a guy outside in like a jean jacket and a flannel shirt and drinking a Natty Light, and they were like, "Hey, dude, we got a spot tonight. You want to start?" And well, yeah, I'll start. And so he doesn't look the part. And for the idea that, you know, here's a guy that he doesn't look like even belongs out there. And somehow he's making plays. He's contributing and he's helping them win a little bit. There is something to be said for that. I think a lot of people fell in love with that aspect of Matthew Dellavedova. Here's a guy that he doesn't even look like he belongs there. And somehow he's got a jersey and he's playing and he's getting some things done. I think that was one of the reasons people kind of fell in love with him. Number three on our list, why people fell in love with Matthew Dellavedova, is he was helping them win. He was doing that dirty work, the diving for loose balls, the getting the scrappy rebounds. There were even a couple games in those first two or three games, he even made a couple shots. And granted, that's one of the ugliest shots I've seen. It looks like he is shot putting the basketball. A couple of them went in. Maybe they were like bank threes. But I realized that started to go away gradually over time. But initially, he was helping them have some success. And there was definitely an appreciation for that from the media and the fans. Number two, and a lot of people aren't going to want to talk about this, but I do think that there was some appreciation for this. I think there was a feeling, especially among Cleveland fans, he might just take out their best player. So number two on our list is maybe he'll just knock out Steph Curry. Maybe he'll dive into his legs. Hey, he's knocked out. He took Al Horford out. He took Kyle Korver out. Maybe he'll just take, Steph Curry out. Maybe he'll take Klay Thompson out. Maybe he'll take out Draymond Green. There was a little bit of a feeling that maybe Matthew Dellavedova, hey, it's Cleveland. It's not like they're above charity right now. If you sat there and said, hey, you're going to win a championship, but in order to do it, you're going to have to shred Steph Curry's knee. Yeah, do it. Done. I don't care. They will take whatever they can get. It's Cleveland. And so the fact that Dellavedova might take out your best player, yeah, okay, well, that's the breaks. Again, blue-collar town, toughness. If our guy takes out your guy, too bad for you. Now, we get down to the number one reason why Cleveland fans across the world, the United States, of course down in Australia, the media, sports media fell in love with Matthew Dellavedova. And I think, to be real honest, I think this is the number one reason people fell in love with him across America. I'm gonna channel my inner Oprah for this. The number one reason people fell in love with Matthew Dellavedova. He's white!
You see, you're going to get some opinions here. You're going to get something different here on the Daily Dose. Let's move on to our number four reason. The number four reason, the top five, it's not always sports related. Yes, we do sports. Yes, we talk a lot of sports here. We dive into sports here. But we can also bring some entertainment. We can also talk a little bit about entertainment. Check out number four on our list.
This one is the top five actors who are really, really overrated playing athletes in sports movies. There's a number of, and I've told you, if you listen to the show much, I've told you my take on most sports movies. I don't like them. I'm a sports guy, background in sports. That's what I've done for a number of years. When I see people pretending to be sports guys, it throws up some red flags at me. I go, you're not a sports guy. You're not that guy. I can see that a mile away. You should leave it to the pros. There's a movie, I've told you, I like sports documentaries because they actually are real. There's a movie out there, He's Got Game, where they went and got Ray Allen to play the young sports guy, the young basketball player. Great job. Because you know what? When I look at Ray Allen, playing basketball, I look at him and I say, oh yeah, it kind of looks like he knows how to play basketball. Yeah, what a thought that is, huh? Pretty amazing. Because if you leave it to Hollywood, like Hollywood thinks they know how to, capture athletes, and here's what we're going to have them do. And doesn't go very well. And again, it's kind of like my overrated college football player. I'm telling you right now, you're going to hear a couple people on this list and you're going to say, oh, CD, what are you doing? How are you putting him on the list? How are you putting that person on the list? They were great in that movie. That's a great movie. I'm not saying it's not a great movie. I'm not even saying they're not a good actor. I'm just saying they're not an athlete and they shouldn't be playing an athlete. And they're really, really overrated in their roles as athletes. Let me give you an example. Most overrated actors who are playing athletes on the big screen. Number five on this list, Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise has been in a couple, I guess, sports movies. You remember him and Jerry Maguire. He was the agent or whatever. Is The Color of Money a sports movie? What is that, a game movie? I don't know what The Color of Money is. The Color of Money is actually a pretty decent movie. But do you remember Tom Cruise in All the Right Moves? Or do you remember Tom Cruise just in pretty much any role that he plays? Because, see, the most basic of athletic prowess is the art of just running. Have you ever seen Tom Cruise running? Now, forget for a minute that All the Right Moves is a horrible, horrible sports movie. And that they somehow try to convince the audience that this kid's entire career, is he going to get a scholarship? Is not, comes down to one play and he makes a mistake and it's so ludicrous, whatever. But just watch Tom Cruise running. You can probably see it in like The Firm. You can probably see it in any movie he's in. When he does his karate chopping hands as he runs, I'm going to give you just a little bit of insight. Myself and my wife, Mrs. Dose, we will be watching. I shouldn't tell this. I'm probably going to get in trouble for telling this. We'll be watching, like, you know, our kids playing, you know, youth soccer, youth basketball, or whatever they're in. And we will actually say to each other, look, that kid runs with Tom Cruise hands. When you might be a really good actor, Tom Cruise. You're not an athlete. And when you run with your karate chopping hands, And I actually have a phrase for saying they run with Tom Cruise hands. You're probably not an athlete and you probably shouldn't be playing one. It's number five on our list. Actors who are really, really overrated playing athletes. Number four on our list. Got to kind of go back in the time machine again, go back to kind of the 80s. Ralph Macchio. Now, Ralph Macchio did two Karate Kid movies. I guess I'm going to put those kind of athletic, sort of athletic things. But here's the problem. He's playing like a 15 or a 16-year-old kid, but he's like 26, 27, and he's playing it. Now, the fact that at 27, you look like an awkward 15-year-old says you might not be the most athletic. I mean, the fact that I look at, well, yeah, he's kind of a spindly little nerd, and he looks like he has acne. Yeah, I guess he's 15. Yeah, except for you're almost 30. Doesn't that tell you a little bit that you... Plus, can you please explain to me why Sweep the Leg Johnny gets penalized for a kick to the knee, but Daniel LaRusso, or whatever his name was, wins the tournament with a kick to the face? Can someone please explain that to me? I haven't figured that out yet. Ralph Macchio comes in at number four. Has no business playing an athlete. Number three on our list... Old-time listeners to the old Daily Dose radio show they're gonna get mad at me for this one. Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes has been in some athletic movies. You'll remember him from Major League. You remember him from White Men Can't Jump. You might remember him from The Fan when he played a baseball player. And you might look at those movies and you say, well, you know, Wesley in Major League, remember he played Willie Mays Hayes? He looked like an okay athlete. He looked like a little guy that was pretty quick. Until you watch White Men Can't Jump. And White Men Can't Jump... It is a pretty good movie. If you haven't seen it, you want something a little bit different, go check it out. But White Men Can't Jump, kind of the whole thing, he plays Sidney Dean. He's a basketball hustler, and the whole thing is that he would rather look pretty than be good. He's in there with Woody Harrelson, and Harrelson is kind of the looks ugly player, but he knocks down the shots. And he says to Sidney Dean, well, you'd rather look pretty than win. Here's the problem. Snipes can't play. You can tell he's not a basketball player. He doesn't look pretty doing anything in this movie. Maybe in the scenes when he's sitting and talking, but he can't play basketball. In fact, when you watch the scenes of him playing basketball, Any move that he makes, they put in slow motion because it's so atrocious. And even in slow motion, it is painful to watch him try to play basketball. They're still horrible, horrible moves. Wesley Snipes, not a basketball player. Maybe he can run. I don't know. He doesn't have Tom Cruise hands, but he can't play basketball. I can tell you that right now. Number two on our list, Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves has played a quarterback twice. He was a starting quarterback in The Replacements, you might remember, and he played, it wasn't really a sports movie, but he played a quarterback in Point Break. He was, what, Shane Falco in The Replacements, and then he was Johnny Utah in Point Break. The only problem, just one problem with him being a quarterback, he can't throw at all. Like, not at all. In fact, these movies, they brought in former UCLA quarterback and head, you know, a guy that is he's been a head coach at the college level, Rick Neuheisel. They brought him in and basically said, can you fix Keanu Reeves and make him look like a quarterback? Here's my only question to that. If what we saw in those movies, if what we saw is the better Keanu Reeves, what did he look like before? Like, do we have some outtakes of what Keanu Reeves used to look like? Because I can throw it left-handed and look better than Keanu Reeves looks right now. So can someone please get like the extended DVD version? And they're like, now here's what Keanu used to look like. Because the finished product is horrible. I can only imagine what it used to look like. Vicon Dios, bro. Number one on our list. Oh, you're going to get mad at this one. You're not going to like this one. I've mentioned this to a couple people and they're not very happy with me already. Number one on our list. Actors who are really, really overrated playing athletes. Sylvester Stallone. I'm sorry. Pick a Rocky movie. Pick one. Doesn't matter. He looks horrible. What else was he in? Grudge Match, I think, as like a 90-year-old. Driven. He was a race car driver, which at least size-wise he fit. Over the Top. I don't know if he was a... Over the Top was like an arm wrestling movie back in the 80s, and I don't know if he was any good, but when he turned his hat backwards, it gave him like super strength. He had another awful movie, Cliffhanger. That was out there too. But here's the thing with Sylvester Stallone to me. A few different things. When you look at him, when he gets in the fights, and I'm not saying that, like the Rocky movie, the first Rocky... not like Rocky III when him and, you know, Apollo Creed are like tickling each other in the ocean with their high socks. I'm not talking about that one. But the first Rocky, it's kind of gritty and it's kind of old. And granted, I don't understand what he's saying. I can't understand a word he says the entire movie. And granted, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And basically, who's his wife? Adrian? Talia Shire, I think. Granted, she basically just spends the entire movie either screaming at her brother or crying. That's all she does, I think, the entire movie. But the story itself is a pretty good story. The problem is that you're not a fighter, and you don't move like a fighter, and you don't act like a fighter, and you don't, especially in, for one, have we ever seen in, like, how many Rockies are there? Like 100? There's like 8 Rocky movies. I've never seen the man dodge a punch or block a punch yet. 8 movies. You wouldn't put one hand up? I've got Mr. T throwing a haymaker. You wouldn't think to put an arm up and try to block it the entire movie. But here's the biggest problem I have with Sylvester Stallone. When he gets hit, it's like, it's not an athletic movie. It's like he has like stage or ballet or dance training, not athletic training, because he kind of like jumps and he like flails in the air. Now, you might think that looks good in Hollywood. Can you imagine for 1 second a heavyweight champion getting punched and jumping into the air like that? It's just... Sylvester Stallone is absolutely horrible playing an athlete of any kind whatsoever.
You see, like I said, we can talk a little bit of entertainment if we need to. Let's move on to number three. You know, one of the great things that I hear back from on the Daily Dose Top 5 is that a lot of times we spark some memories. A lot of times we look back at some of the vintage sports things. Some of the things that we might have forgot about. Some of the players you might have forgot about. Some of the teams that you might have forgot about. We take a look back in time. Check out number three. Some of these stories that are a little bit more vintage. Check this one out.
As we do every single week, let's jump over to our Daily Dose Top 5. And our Daily Dose Top 5 comes to us this week from Mike in SoCal. Mike in SoCal emailed me. Mike is a pretty regular contributor to the show. We have a couple Mikes that contribute to the show, but Mike is a pretty regular contributor to the show. And he emailed me, and he was talking about, we were talking about some of the greatest hitters in NFL history. And then we kind of started talking about, well, who are the greatest hitters like right now? And I'm going to be honest, we couldn't come up with any greatest hitters right now. Cam Chancellor, Rashad Jones down at Miami, TJ Ward maybe here in Denver. I don't know. The game has changed so completely, you can't be a hitter in the NFL anymore. Hitters are as extinct as the dinosaurs. Because of the rules, because of the way that they officiate these games, we don't have hitters anymore. So I'm going to go through today, and we're going to count down the five greatest hitters in NFL history. But I'm telling you right now, we don't have greatest hitters anymore. These are going to be the greatest hitters ever of all time, done deal, because it is over. That part of football has ended. And here in a few years, they're probably going to be playing flag football. And I understand. I'm not complaining. I understand these guys, the issues they have, the head injuries, the physical ailments. I'm not necessarily arguing against it. I'm just saying it doesn't happen anymore. We don't have great hitters anymore. Doesn't exist. They have been legislated out of the league. Let's count down the Daily Dose top five greatest hitters. Number five on our list. Gotta go. He played for the Rams. He played for the Cardinals. He played for the Lions. And it's before my time. I'll admit it. It's before my time, but I've gone back and looked at the film, and Dick Night Train Lane was absolutely vicious. The videos that you see of Dick Night Train Lane, they are violent hits. He was a guy that they had to ban clotheslining for. The horse collar was still legal. But clotheslining, he would just go by and just try to get guys' necks everywhere he went. They used to call it the Night Train Necktie. And I'm telling you right now, if you go Google search Dick Night Train Lane and some of his hits, they are violent, violent, horrible hits. Definitely one of the greatest hitters of all time. Number four, I'm going to stay here in Denver, and I know you can call me a homer if you want to. I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos' Steve Atwater. You know, everyone remembers the Christian Okoye hit. You know, that was back, what, like 93 or something. Christian Okoye, the big, giant, 260-pound running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, comes through the hole. Atwater popped him, knocked him backwards. That isn't even the play that stands out. As much as that play put him on the map, and as much as that play has been replayed, I want you to think about the way that Steve Atwater played in Super Bowl 32. Couple plays I want you to keep in mind in that game. Super Bowl 32, when the Broncos played the Packers, upset the Green Bay Packers in that Super Bowl. The first touchdown of the game, the Packers go right down the field, and Brett Favre hits Antonio Freeman in the back of the end zone. Steve Atwater tattoos him on that play. Now, that might not seem like much, but you have to remember the Denver Broncos had been to the Super Bowl and failed miserably. It made me wonder when he hit him, this looks a little different, because I remember the losses to the Redskins, to the Giants, you know, to the 49ers, when, you know, these guys were catching and making plays, and no one ever made them pay for it. Atwater popped him in the back of the end zone, one of the first plays of the game. He had the big sack on Brett Favre, caused a fumble, and then late in the game, just a, you know, 30 seconds left in the game or something, Packers are driving. Steve Atwater actually knocks out Darian Gordon, his teammate, Robert Brooks, and himself on one play. You actually see Atwater make this collision with his teammate, and you see his whole body just goes dead, and he just hits the ground. Steve Atwater was a hitter. You had to be aware of where he was. They called him the Smiling Assassin. He would knock you out anywhere on the field. Number three on my list, and I know I'm going to have some people argue that this guy should be higher, but it's my list. When you make a list, you put him where you want to. I'm going to go with Chicago Bears' Dick Butkus. Dick Butkus was just an absolutely ferocious tackler. And I'll be honest, a lot of the plays, when I go back and I watch, you know, some of the YouTube videos and stuff of Dick Butkus, this is a guy that was kind of going out of his way trying to injure you. Giants general manager Ernie Accorsi, he described Dick Butkus maybe the best way you could describe him. When he hit you, you stayed hit. Kind of a good way to describe Dick Butkus, who comes in at number three. Number two on our list, I'm going to go with San Francisco 49er safety Ronnie Lott. You know, Ronnie Lott started as a cornerback. He was shifted to safety, and he actually was built and played like a linebacker. Dude had no problem sacrificing his own body to just knock someone out or just put his body on the line. He would throw himself into violent collisions. I'm sure you are aware of the story that he had a piece of his pinky dangling off of his finger that they were afraid was going to keep him out of the game. So he went over and, cut it off himself. Ronnie Lott, one of the toughest and most ferocious hitters. Again, if wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, if you were going to be in Ronnie Lott's area, your head had to be on a swivel because he was going to come take your head off. Number one on my list, the Daily Dose top five greatest hitters, I am going to give to the Oakland Raiders, Jack Tatum. Now, I want to throw out just a couple of brief stories about Jack Tatum to describe to you why he is on my list. First off, if you ever watch the old clips, I want you to be very, very aware of what is on his forearms. Because his forearms, he always had the tape going up from wrist, to elbow. I don't think that was just tape. I'm going to be honest. I think there was probably, maybe a hardening agent. There was something going on there because he used his arms like battering rams and he would just club guys in the head with those forearms. You might not know, and again, this is one you kind of have to watch the YouTube video of, but when Jack Tatum was playing, he had a move that he called, I believe he called it the hook. And what he would do, and if you watch some of the old clips, you'll see him do it. What Jack Tatum would do when he hit wide receivers, he would try to get his arm around their head, and right as he was going by them, he would flex it and tighten it and try to pop their helmet off of their head. I believe, like I said, he called that the hook. If you keep an eye on some of those old YouTube videos of Jack Tatum, you will see him trying to remove guys' helmets off their head. He did it quite a bit. Pittsburgh Steelers coach Chuck Knoll, he actually was trying to pursue criminal charges, saying there was a criminal element to the game that Jack Tatum played. If you remember the Immaculate Reception, the pass from Terry Bradshaw to Frenchie Fuqua that got deflected over Franco Harris catches it, Tatum absolutely crushed Frenchie Fuqua, the wide receiver on that play. I still think that play was illegal just by how the play was. But anyways, Jack Tatum, probably the most vicious and nasty hitter that I've ever seen. Saw him in a full-on head-on collision with Earl Campbell, the huge running back down at Houston. They both kind of teetered and tipped over sideways. And of course, we remember the horrible situation we talked about, with the preseason game where Daryl Stingle, the wide receiver for the New England Patriots, was paralyzed. Jack Tatum was a vicious, vicious hitter. And if you were on the field against him, it was very, very scary, something that you knew he was coming and he was looking for you. He was going to try to inflict punishment on you. Jack Tatum, our hardest hitter on the Daily Dose Top 5. Now, let's move on to number two. One of the other things that we do on the Daily Dose Top 5 is that we do like to take a look at some current events. And sometimes there are things happening in the world. Sometimes there are important happenings in the world that we'll kind of gear the Daily Dose Top 5 around that. Take a listen to this Daily Dose Top 5, something that was geared around a kind of a current event that was happening at the time we recorded this. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. The Daily Dose Top 5, you don't know which direction it's going to go. It may inform. It may entertain. It may just give you some insight into certain things in your life. And that is one of those cases today. Today on the Daily Dose Top 5, Larry and I talked about it earlier. Talked about the Powerball. Powerball is up to $1.5 billion. Do you realize that your odds of winning, they're estimating, are about 1 in 292 million? Not great odds. I'm going to be honest. Not great odds. So today on the Daily Dose Top 5, I thought it might be a good idea to just give you a few events that are more likely to happen than you winning the Powerball. I'm not trying to rain on your parade. Understand that. I'm not trying to depress you and tell you there's no chance. In fact, what I'm trying to tell you is some of the items on the list today have a better chance of happening. And they're not all bad. I'm going to tell you that right up front. Some of the items on this list, they're not all bad. Some of them you're like, oh, I could live with that. So today, on our Daily Dose Top 5, events with better odds of happening than you winning the Powerball tonight. Number five on our list. Hey, this one's not going to hurt your feelings. Number five, I told you you have a 1 in 292 million chance of winning the Powerball tonight. Did you know that if you are currently living in the United States, I know we have some listeners in other countries, but if you are currently living in the United States of America, you have a 1 in 88,000 chance of dating an American supermodel. Hey, that's not all bad, right? An American supermodel? Really? I mean, that wouldn't wreck your day. So you've actually got a better chance. You could be like Derek Jeter, like Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, you have that opportunity. I guess if you're a female, maybe it's a little different. I don't know how that works. But you've got a shot. You've got a shot. So that's number five. Number four on our list, you know, 1 in 10 million people. 1 in 10 million people will become president of these United States. Now, you've got to be a U.S. citizen, and you've got to have some of those qualifications to get into that, you know, to that running. But 1 out of 10 million, you could be president of the United States. And I'm going to be honest with you. Based on our current candidates, my Daily Dose audience is way smarter than what we've got out there. So I'm okay with that. I would be okay with one of you becoming president of the United States. I've seen what else we have to offer. You're smarter than that. Number three on our list. Events with a better chance of happening than you winning the Powerball. Number three. Okay, this one's not quite as fun, but there's actually a better chance that you're listening to this podcast while being on fire right now. There, 1 in 500,000 people, 1 in 500,000 listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast while actually on fire right now. That's your odds. I would like to say, if you are one of those people listening to this while being on fire, thanks for tuning in. I realize you got a lot on your plate right now. I realize you got a lot of things going at home. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it. Share the podcast. Give it to a friend. Number two on our list of things with better odds than you winning the Powerball. Number two, 1 in 7 million. Now, I believe that you've got to be like a high school basketball player. 1 in 7 million, you're going to get drafted into the NBA. 1 in 7 million versus 1 in 292 million? Are you kidding me? That's still better odds. That is still better odds. You could get drafted into the NBA. Imagine Adam Silver calling your name at the podium. You got a shot? You got a shot? Better shot than you do of winning tonight. The number one event on our list today. Better odds of happening than you winning the Powerball jackpot, which is $1.5 billion. You have a 1 in 292 million chance of winning it. The Cincinnati Bengals actually win a playoff game. 1 in 291 million shot. So you're telling me there's a chance.
You see, sometimes we have to talk about some current events as we move on to our number one reason that you have to check out the Daily Dose Top 5. Again, if you are late coming in, we welcome you. We are glad that you are here, but you might not understand exactly what the big deal is about the Daily Dose Top 5. The number one reason why you have to check it out every single week, it's because we look to help people. We try to help people. You might be in this situation where you say, hey, I need some advice. I need some help. Don't worry. The Daily Dose has got your back. Check out this past top five. As we do every single week, we have to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Hope you enjoyed the NBA preview, but we've got to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Now, here at the Daily Dose, we don't just talk sports. We are here to help you. We are here to help people. We are in the business of helping people. We try to give you a good podcast every week, try to give you some articles to read every week, some things that you will enjoy. And here, once again, we are trying to help you. Because do you realize that Halloween is on Saturday? And you don't want to be one of those people, you know, the obnoxious Halloween party that, you know, they show up and they've got like full Star Wars costume complete with like working lightsaber. You don't want to be that guy. So what we decided we would do is we would give you just some, you know, just five simple sports themed costumes to get you through, you know, that obnoxious Halloween party that you've got to go to. And you want to go.
Because you're going to, you know, you're going to see some friends, you're going to hang out, you're going to have some food, you're going to have some drinks. It's going to be a good time, but you don't want to go just crazy on the outfit. Now, I realize it's easier for a female, because a female can just pick like a costume, and then you just put the word slutty in front of it. So I'm going to be a nurse, I'm going to be a slutty nurse. I'm going to be a football player, I'm going to be a slutty football player. It's a lot easier for females. Now, some of these costumes, I'll admit, they can go either way. You can be male, you can be female, it doesn't matter. But here are the top five easy Halloween costumes that you can wear. You know, just something to keep in mind. Halloween, I know it's kind of a silly holiday. I know it's kind of goofy. I know it was just a holiday started by the razor blade companies. But you've got to participate. You've got to get out there and you've got to have a costume come Saturday night. And you've got to have something good. So let me give you the five easy sports-themed Halloween costumes recommended by the Daily Dose. Number five. And I'm going to be, this is the easiest one of the bunch. This is the easiest one of the bunch. You can be male. You can be female. It helps if you're female, but it's not limited to just females. Here is the Halloween costume. You stay in your car and you park at the very, very back of all the other cars that are at the party. And then you just complain about how everyone else in front of you won't move out of your way. Your number five Halloween costume. Danica Patrick. There you go. See, I'm helping you. Stay in your car, have people bring you out food and drinks. You kind of complain, how do all these other cars get in front of me? And why won't they just move? Danica Patrick, done. Number four on our list of Halloween costumes. Again, a little bit of effort here. It's not, you know, quite as easy. You get your nice suit and tie. You've got the jacket on. You're looking good. You've got a pair of crutches. You're Derrick Rose in the playoffs. Piece of cake. That's the easiest costume you could even have. You might have something to read. Maybe you wear, you know, your kind of hipster glasses. Derrick Rose, done deal. Easy. Number three on our list of easy Halloween costumes you can put on. Now, this one, a little bit more work, but you might have a wheelchair just kind of lying around the house. Get the wheelchair. Tuck your right arm into your jersey. Like you don't have an arm. Now, it helps if you have a big giant head or you can put like a big pumpkin on your head. Peyton Manning, done deal. Number three on our list, a Peyton Manning costume is pretty, pretty simple. Number two on our list of easy Halloween costumes. A little more work again on this one. You get your pimp hat. You get your cane. You get your fur coat. You might even have to put in a grill. I mean, you might want to put some gold teeth in there and get some caps on there and look like you're doing it up. Because if you're the pimp, you're probably Louisville head coach Rick Pitino. That seems like an easy one. That seems like an easy one to me. Last one. On our list of top five easy Halloween costumes, you get your We're Number Two pennant. You get your pacifier. You might have some cramps that you're dealing with. And you get your box of Rogaine. And LeBron James is attending the Halloween party. There you go. There's your top five Halloween costumes. They're easy. They're simple. Anyone can do them. Hey, I hope that you have enjoyed this look back at our Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, next week on the show, you know, NBA playoffs, of course, they are getting bigger and hotter, and we're going to be into conference finals here very, very soon. We might have to actually talk a little bit about the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's some big-time things going on over in the NHL that we might have to look at, and yes, at some point, I'm going to get to some Major League Baseball, but before that, we might have to talk a little bit about the NFL offseason, which is also going on. Yes, and as we do every single week, we have to get to our Daily Dose Top 5, which we will do every single week. You never want to miss that. Hey, if you get a chance, head over to iTunes or wherever it is that you download the podcast from. Be sure to give us a quick 5-star rating and a review. We would appreciate that so much. You know, you can head over to rogueintel.com and check out our forum page. You can post there. You can give me some comments. You can give us some feedback. Anything you want to post there, we would always be welcome to hearing that. And you can also listen to some other episodes. You can listen to some of these past episodes that are out there for you. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.
Small businesses. Direct Line guarantee to be any public liability insurance quote for the same cover. Can your insurance do that? New customers only. Qualifying criteria apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.